Wants me to go this morning, and you can take your Bible out, because we're going to go to the Word before we go to what He wants for us today. And He took me a little bit on a trip the other morning, and I questioned Him this morning as to what He wanted. And so there's one particular verse that He pushed into me. And I say pushed. It's John chapter 6, verse 33. John chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Try it on for size. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Kind of cool, huh? You see, we celebrate this Christmas season with tradition. And the Holy Spirit was on my case this morning, and He said, I don't want you to celebrate my birth from the angles of the natural. And I said, okay, you're on, Lord. What do you want to do here? He said, go to Luke chapter 2. So if you will take this little switch over to back to Luke, back it up. I want you to be aware that there was an excitement in that day because of the birth of Jesus, and how we have a relationship with Him, and we feed on Him as the Lamb of God. We feed on Him every time we break bread. And He came from heaven, didn't He? That's what His words were in John 6. Amen? Amen. He was sent from heaven down to this earth. And it's, yes, spiritual, but I want you to see the excitement. First of all, we could talk about how Mary had a visitation and all that, and that's part of the Christmas story. But I want you to go to verse 8 of chapter 2. I want you to see who He pressures to wake up. It's not the King of Israel. It's not the Queen Mother or anyone else in the high society of Israel. It's the shepherds. Mm-hmm. Now, the shepherds are just literally taking care of their flock. They're just doing the job that they have chosen to do, or maybe forced into, because many shepherds were young. Because the old guys were the fathers of the family, and it's the kids that took care of the sheep. Got it? And verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the field. Living. It was an everyday affair. Keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. All right. What does that have to do with me on the earth today? Well, how much preaching did you just do, Joe, about having those angels go to work and to bless those that have been abusing you and using you, betraying you, publicly and privately, and now in a court of law? It's all different levels, isn't it? How many of you have ever had somebody talk about you behind your back? Yeah. Would it be a natural thing to say, stick it to them? Yeah. Fix them, God. But that's not what Job prayed for. Job prayed for a blessing to come upon the ones that were bad-mouthing him. Were there angels in that courtroom? Yes. Are there angels on your job situation? Yes, there are. It's up to you, isn't it? Ah, you mean I got angels available? Yes, you do. Were these guys in the middle of the night watching their sheep thinking about angels? No. They were just taking care of those smelly sheep, making sure that they were none of them that were going to be lost, because sheep are not that smart. But the bottom line is, the Lord of glory allowed the angels to be visible so that they could get a clue about who was being born in the earth that day. Okay? Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. So what do? We all bow to fear first, don't we? I mean, the fear will manifest in a matter of seconds when there's a crisis. Whenever you don't get the phone call you expected, and fear comes to bring you into torment. Anybody relate? All right. Well, is it your habit to say, Holy Spirit, I need an angel on this job? Because I can't go fix who and who, or they. Yet the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14, that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for you and me. Now everybody gets scared when there's devils around. Yet, one third of heaven gave up on God and followed Satan. Two thirds stayed faithful to God. So my prayer is for each of us to start doing what Joe said he did in that courtroom yesterday, or Friday. Wake up when you see a crisis happen. Awaken your heart and say, wait a minute, I'm not going to go the old way. Yet the old way is the comfortable one, because you've done it so many times and multiples of levels. Because the older we get, the more we have experiences that we did wrong. And the less we remember of the things that we did right, because the enemy tries to erase that. Okay? So, do not be afraid was the direction that the angels got. How about you and me? Stop the fear. Because fear comes into what? To stop you from the miracle that's been prepared. Oh, I hit a brick wall on that one. I just did. That word did not go into your hearts. Just close your eyes right now and put one hand over your heart. Say, heart, open up.
Heart, open up.
Right now.
Right now.
There are blessings that I never get.
There are blessings that I never get.
Because I bow to fear.
Because I bow to fear.
And torment takes over.
And torment takes over.
This is the Christmas season.
This is the Christmas season.
It's the sign.
Sign.
For me to wake up, that it began with angels on the job,
doing a work
to the shepherds,
the
average guys,
and maybe girls
who were trying to take care of Papa and Mama's sheep. Nothing has changed in humanity.
Nothing has changed.
It's a family affair. Angels are available. If I open my mouth with the right words,
they'll
be right on the job in seconds. They're just waiting for my mouth
to decree
the word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
And they will come in.
And they will come in.
And they will do a work.
And they will do a work.
And get my soul to quiet down.
Get my soul to quiet down.
Even if it takes half the night.
Even if it takes half the night.
Amen.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He didn't say he was born for the neighborhood. He was born to you. It was personal. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. His favor is on his children. The Jewish nation, right now, in 2018, had the biggest miracle when the President of the United States moved the embassy from Tel Aviv down the road into Jerusalem. It showed that for the first time, promises were made for our country to wake up and acknowledge that God was lifting up Israel, because that's a sign for the end times. Jesus did not come and then say, "I'll never return." He said, "I'm coming back." Now, he's not coming back in a manger. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's waiting for his bride to awaken. And a few weeks ago, several visions came. Several words were brought to us about who we are in this country and in this state of Massachusetts. And we are an important chosen people to do a work for him, no different than these shepherds. Now, I'm sure those shepherds were probably awed by the reality of seeing the angel, number one. But number 13 said, a great company of heavenly hosts. Yes? What does that really mean? Is that more angels? Heavenly hosts are what?
He's a witnessing, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're witnesses.
This is the cloud of witnesses, yes.
The Amplified says a heavenly knighthood.
A heavenly knighthood. Okay. What does that mean to you, John?
Well, it's a crowd of witnesses, those that have overcome.
Come on.
Those who have overcome and have come before you, right, and have done their homework and are waiting for me and you to grow up and mature and be the godly men and women that we've been called to be. Now, earlier, I shared about Eric sitting on an airplane who was going to be traveling across the Pacific, and he had one thought in mind. To whom do I talk about Jesus to? And nobody's available because everybody's conking out in their seats. There's only one that got up. Okay. One little stewardess. Only one. Now you're on a flight, you're going across the ocean. You know that you want to talk to Jesus or about Jesus to someone. Okay? And God would choose the hostess. And eventually, she came to him, or he to her, how, I don't know how all those coordinates happened. But he led her to the Lord and talked to her about Jesus when they were crossing the Pacific. Now, in my book, I don't know if I would have had the presence of mind to pray that particular prayer and be open to minister on a plane. I might have decided I want a nap. The soul probably would have said, let's rest because we got work to do, because there's ministry going to be happening when I get to Taiwan. Okay? But the bottom line is, he didn't do that. He was on the job. Who do you think was prompting him? Holy Spirit. Here's the preparation that was done by that little girl in her, I would say, late teens, started to study English on her own, not in school. We learned that today from her lips. And she learned it, and then when she finished school, decided that she was going to want to become a stewardess. And you can see the orchestration of the Holy Spirit without her knowledge, orchestrating her. These shepherds, no different than this girl, doing their thing, surrounded by a host of heavenly witnesses. They're sitting in this room waiting to see if you're going to obey on the days to come and in this Christmas season to talk about Jesus, because it's the season that we talk about. It's not really just about Santa Claus.
Amen.
Okay? Not that I want to cancel Santa Claus. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm going to do. But I want you to be aware of the heavenly realm. If I can awaken you to the heavenly realm that's available to each and every one of us, and to be able to minister not what you have planned, not to take a nap and sleep for the whole weekend because you didn't have to go to work or whatever. All right? But there's an opportunity here for that heavenly host to assist you, mm-hmm. along with the angels of God, to bring life into the broken.
Amen.
And healing to those that have no hope.
Come on.
Your son needs intercession more than ever. Okay? And you're on the job, and you did what you were supposed to do. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of this guy who was, you know, kind of upset yesterday when we talked. But we were able to go higher. And if we live in this earth, we are not of the earth.
Amen.
Our citizenship is
in
heavenly places. And it's time that we entertain the ones that are waiting on the outside saying, will they ever acknowledge that we're here? Will they ever realize that we've gone before them and we have pressured them to go forward? Last night I watched a little bit of Governor Huckabee on one of the Christian channels. He had three middle-aged or young elderly men. The name of the group, I forgot what it was right now, but they were entertaining and they were going to be singing. And Huckabee said, I see that you brought your dad with you. And the father was sitting in the front row. He's 91. So they brought him up on stage and he sang with his three sons. Okay? And then they asked, how did you ever become so famous in the entertainment industry? And the father said, well, it started with their mother and the grandmother and one of the aunts. They had some kind of a show that was happening, and the oldest boy was very fluent in his singing ability, and he was quite an entertainer. But the aunt and the grandmother said, well, why can't you enter all three of them together? So one was two, one was four, and one was like six. And They entered the contest and won first prize. So Mike Huckabee turned around and he said to the father, which now is on stage with his three sons, he says, "And what are you giving them for Christmas? And what is the best gift that you've ever given them for Christmas every year?" He says, "I gave them my love. I gave them my support." And they're singing for Jesus to this day. Mm-mm. So then Mike Huckabee said, "Well, now, Grandpa, would you sing for us tonight?" And I'll tell you, there were tears in my eyes when they gave him the microphone and he led his three sons to a beautiful song about Jesus. I can truly say that in that place, there had to be a great company of heavenly hosts just celebrating the reality that this grandfather, and I'm sure his whole family, especially his three sons, had a high moment in the heavenlies that the cloud of witnesses were watching. Why are we gathered today? Are we like those shepherds? Are we aware of how many angels are in the room right now? Are we aware of those that have gone before us that are celebrating with us? Saying, "Come on, guys. Don't limit God." The heavenly experience that he wants you and me to have will never happen if we're still fighting in our bed, arguing with God. "How are you going to fix me?" Because I've done that. And that's a very normal thing. The soul loves to find out or dictate, "How are you going to fix me?" Or, "What can I do to enhance my life and those around me? To whom can I talk to the Lord about in this wonderful season?" Maybe one phone call is all that's needed. When my niece came in today, I ran out to the car and I gave her a hug in my driveway. And we spoke just a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about some of the challenges. And her sister called me this week. And she had been diagnosed with a possibility of some major cancer. And she's the youngest one of four. My brother had four daughters. And she was on the phone with me this week, crying because we prayed. And they did some surgery back a few weeks or several weeks ago. But she'd been waiting all of these days of waiting and test results and more test results. Well, they finally gave her a clean bill of health, no cancer. So we cried together on the phone. And why? You know, today I had her older sister in my arms and I reminded her that many years ago when she was like maybe five, they had come to spend the night at our house. And we kept them for a week because my brother had lost his job. What a gift when you lose your job. Because when he lost that job, he had the courage to build something brand new that had never been a part of his life. And those four girls got to know their two cousins and drove us crazy for a while. And we had an awful lot of good times together, even though we were 4.5-5 hours apart. Did I know that down the road, when her first visit came, that her boyfriend and I would, let's say, meet only in the realm of the spirit, because her future husband was visiting, helping my brother, and he had his Pontiac Trans Am parked in front of the slaughterhouse and I was leaving to drive back home. I actually turned the car in the front of that business, and the Holy Spirit said, "See that car before you leave?" And I said, "Yes," and it was bright red. And Nancy's future husband was helping my brother, which I did not meet him. I was with Nicole, and it was business as usual. And with a slaughterhouse and all the employees, I didn't even say goodbye to my brother. But I did say goodbye to my sister-in-law. And the Lord said, "Take the oil and anoint the stick shift in the car. Put oil on the steering wheel. And then put oil on the two handles that you get into the car. And then go home." Well, I did. 3 years later, after they had been married for a while, they came to visit. And I had to go and do some ministering up in, actually, Greenfield area. And on the way down that big hill, he asked to take a ride with me, because we all went out to this full gospel breakfast. And Mario was born again coming down that mountain. So you don't know why you do what you do. But being on the job, ministering to my brother's family and the girls, God would prepare. Today, like I told you earlier, I sat with their son, the second born, and was being able to minister to him yesterday, only through God's grace, and enjoy a relationship that was orchestrated by angels every step of the way. And all I can say is, you've got a host around you, and the God of glory is looking to spread some more peace into hearts. Men and women that are waiting, that have never heard about Jesus, waiting to hear from you. You say, "Me?" Yes, you. This is a season of great joy. It is a season to feed on the bread of life, who was sent from heaven. Just close your eyes right now. Say, "The bread of heaven was sent."
The bread of heaven was sent.
In the form of a man.
In the form of a man.
Being called a sheep.
Being called a sheep.
Designed by God to be slaughtered.
Designed by God to be slaughtered.
And killed.
And killed.
So we could come to life.
So we could come to life.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
And he chose to lay his body on the line.
And he chose to lay his body on the line.
To pay for yours and my sin.
To pay for yours and my sin.
In John chapter 6, verse 25.
In John chapter 6, 25.
It says, "Do not work for food that spoils."
It says, "Do not work for food that spoils."
But for food that endures.
For food that endures.
To eternal life.
To eternal life.
Which the Son of Man will give you.
Which the Son of Man will give you.
On him.
On him.
God the Father.
God the Father.
Has placed his seed, his seal of approval.
Has placed his seal of approval.
We'll do that one again. On him.
On him.
God the Father.
God the Father.
Has placed his seal of approval.
Has placed his seal of approval.
It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven.
It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven.
For the bread of God.
For the bread of God.
Is he who comes down from heaven.
Is he who comes down from heaven.
And gives life to the world.
And gives life to the world.
I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life.
And I tell you the truth.
And I tell you the truth.
He who believes. Has everlasting life.
Has everlasting life.
I am the bread of life.
I am the bread of life.
Here is the bread that comes down from heaven.
Here is the bread that comes down from heaven.
That's verse 50. Which a man may eat.
Which a man may eat.
And not die.
And not die.
Verse 51. I am the living bread.
I am the living bread.
That comes down from heaven.
That comes down from heaven.
If anyone eats of this bread.
If anyone eats of this bread.
He will live forever.
He will live forever.
This bread is my flesh.
This bread is my flesh.
Which I will give.
Which I will give.
For the life of the world.
For the life of the world.
I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth.
Unless you eat the flesh,
unless you eat the flesh
of the Son of Man,
of the Son of Man,
and drink his blood,
and drink his blood,
you have no life in you.
You have no life in you.
Whoever eats my flesh,
whoever eats my flesh,
and drinks my blood,
and drinks my blood,
has eternal life.
Has eternal life.
And I will raise him up.
And I will raise him up
at the last day.
At the last day.
This is why
I told you
that no one can come to me,
that no one can come to me
unless the Father enables me.
Unless the Father enables me.
And enables him.
And enables him.
Now I just read from my notes from the other day because that's what he told me to do this morning. And I want to rest with the reality that you can check in Luke chapter 2 the rest of the story of Christmas. But you see, Christmas is just a lot of commercialism today.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I said to the Lord, I don't want this season to bypass me without tasting of the real fruit of why you came and were born in a stable. And you know, you could take, and I could read to you all kinds of scriptures, but that would mean just another pile of words. Mm-hmm. And another pile of words none of us needs. But a reality of who he really is and what he advertised about the Father's plan for our country, our nation, our world. Watching what he did today and yesterday, and watching what he's done in each of your lives, is to be able to taste of Christmas and the purpose for Christmas. It's not about just a manger scene, but it is about you and me having the courage to tell somebody how much God has given to each of us and to grow up into what he wants for tomorrow and in the next couple of days. I don't know what he's prepared for me in the past. You know, I mean, I know we're going to have family gatherings and we're going to have food and we're going to have a lot of things. But I do know this. Sometimes just your smile, your joy in the midst of the trial that you're in, will speak louder than many words. And his ability to manifest his reality through what you are living through, because you're not living in an easy space, some of you. Some of you, it might be not quite so difficult. But others, you've had it really tight. And I know that. It's been tight inside. You've heard about Joe's fight against his own circumstances half the night. I've been there.
Amen.
Okay? And sometimes the whole night. Mm-hmm. Don't let it be wasted. If you've ever fought half of the night, would you stand up right now? I want you to lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I'm not going to fight alone.
I'm not going to fight alone.
There are angels available.
There are angels available.
to help me out. There's a cloud of witnesses available.
There's a cloud of witnesses available.
To take me higher.
To take me higher.
So that I can see.
So that I can see.
What you have.
What you have.
Prepared for me.
Prepared for me.
Not just today.
Not just today.
But in the days ahead.
But in the days ahead.
Because with broken bread.
Because with broken bread.
It reminds me.
It reminds me.
Of what Jesus said.
Of what Jesus said.
When I was broken on that cross.
When I was broken on that cross.
It was to pay for the sins of the world.
It was to pay for the sins of the world.
Not for you and me to hate the world.
Not for you and me to hate the world.
But to love the broken.
But to love the broken.
That are in the world.
That are in the world.
And today.
And today.
I believe.
I believe.
That this bread.
That this bread.
Is the bread of life.
Is the bread of life.
And just like Jesus did.
And just like Jesus did.
I break the bread now.
I break the bread now.
And I see the fruit in it.
And I see the fruit in it.
Will there be any fruit to my life?
Will there be any fruit to my life?
Oh, hallelujah. Look at those fruit. Hasiki Harosharatahaya. Thank you, Lord. That you allowed yourself to be torn open. Torn open to become food for the broken. Food for the hopeless ones. I declare this to be the flesh and the blood of our Savior. Lift your hands to Him. Say, I thank you. That in that cup. The blood of the Lamb.
The
one that was born.
In a stable.
To show us.
It was a sign.
That He was the Lamb of God.
That gave up everything.
So that I could come to life.
Yes.
His flesh. Is real food for me. Let it be now.
Let it be now.
Food to my body and my soul. And when I take it today, to change me from what I was
to what I need to become.
Let it be for our nation.
Hope and salvation.
And glory upon glory upon glory.
As you protect us
against the nations that want us dead, and against the darkness that wants us to be annihilated.
We stand together,
focused,
when we take this communion.
We take it for those that are angry with us,
that can't stand our guts,
that don't understand us,
because we're from a foreign
nation.
We are from heaven.
We are citizens of heaven.
Living in an earth suit.
Enjoying the trip.
To the best of our ability.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
For our president and all the leaders in our country and every state. In Jesus' name.